Welcome back to another new NACE International podcast in our COVID-19 series, looking at the impact of the pandemic on the corrosion control, the protective coatings industries. My name is Ben Dubose. I'm a staff writer with Materials Performance Magazine. That's the official membership magazine of NACE, as well as Coatings Pro Magazine. Today, our guest is Phil Kinane. He is Vice President of Sales at Comsol, and he's going to have a little bit of a different perspective. His company does some modeling that, of course, can be used for corrosion prevention, protection. We'll let him explain that in a little bit. First and foremost, Phil, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. And I'm glad to get your insight on our ongoing COVID-19 series here at NACE, because a lot of the companies that we've talked to, be it manufacturers, contractors, they look at it from a strictly day-to-day perspective, what's going on out in the field. With you guys, obviously, you're more software-based. So for anyone who is not aware, I think a good place to start for our audience would be by letting you sort of tell a little bit about yourself, your role, and what it is that your company does as it pertains to corrosion mitigation.
Yes, thank you, Ben. So I run the sales department here and on the east. We're out of the East Coast, although the company itself is a Swedish company. It runs to around about 550 employees throughout the world, with a few distributors as well in some countries. We make a software that models the physical behavior or the physical properties and so forth that would be associated with corrosion. In particular, corrosion that's affected or that occurs because of electrochemical processes. So in one way, you could look at our software as a solver of mathematics. In another way, you could look at our software as a design software. But if you meld the two, what we do is we simulate possible designs or possible future processes or existing processes so that you understand them. And within corrosion, that could be understanding what it is that's causing the corrosion or the most amount of corrosion. Let's say it's a pipe going through the ground, and we need to ascertain where it is that the corrosion is most likely to occur because of some type of electrochemical process. Alternatively, as Ben, you noted, we also are associated with using the mathematics associated with electrochemistry and transport processes so that we can, our users can simulate a situation where they would like to know where and how to put out some sort of corrosion mitigation processes such as sacrificial anodes or induced current cathodic protection and so forth. So that's where we're at.
One of the interesting angles from our perspective at NACE, this series that we've been doing since the end of March, looking at COVID-19, we've talked a lot, as I mentioned, with manufacturers, with contractors, with service providers. And one of the recurring themes is that for a lot of companies, it's been difficult to send workers physically out in the field, not necessarily because they can't, because a lot of these businesses are essential, but it's a matter of travel and how the logistics are so constrained by what's been going on. And I know you have a more detailed perspective than I do, but from a distance, I would guess that modeling becomes even more important, because if you're able to successfully model, then you're able to better plan when you are going to need workers out in the field. So I guess my question is, number one, is that assessment correct? And secondly, if it is, what are you hearing from your clients? Is there any greater interest in modeling as a result of the conditions we've been in for the last, I guess, quarter of the year and probably will be for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I think your assessment is more or less on point there. When you talk about people going out onto the field and the problems are because of travel, we also have a very large amount of our customers who would work in laboratories or in buildings associated with design and the like. And they, of course, can't go to those places and mix with other people in the way that they used to. And so they've been kept from doing maybe large parts of their job. And for the people that are possibly going out into the field with respect to corrosion, they can't do that. So there's a sort of a bit of a hole there that they need to fill to keep themselves busy until they are allowed to travel again or allowed to go to work and do experiments and so forth in the labs. So modeling has filled that hole quite extensively. It's something that you can, you know, you always want to get to because you always want to understand a process better. It's also something that you can use to put up hypotheses and so forth of what could be possible. So, for example, you know, let's see if I can sort of get together a bunch of ICCP designs and have them ready so that when I am allowed to travel again, then it's just a matter of going out there and running those prototypes or whatever it is that is done out there on the field, according to a whole bunch of simulations that I've spent the last couple of months performing. So for us, there has been a rather significant and very noticeable increase in the amount of modeling and participation with our events and so forth associated with modeling and simulation. So when we used to run webinars and get 100 people, now we run webinars and get 300 people. Mm. When we used to send out the evaluation copies of our software on a monthly basis of, you know, just pluck a number out of the air, but like 100, once again, it's 300. So there is a lot of people sitting at home, thinking about the future, trying to keep themselves busy, and the console fortunately has the ability to be able to provide that activity.
That makes a lot of sense. What I worry about, the other side of the equation, is that you have these companies that might have a renewed interest, as you were just explaining, but the flip side is that everyone is under pressure in 2020 to minimize expenses and to cut costs. So I'm just curious, from a business perspective, how you all at COMSOL have been able to adjust to that. Is it a matter of selling potential clients on the idea that with modeling, there's all sorts of long-term savings that you can bring into the mix? Just talk, if you could, about what the dynamic is with regards to, you have this renewed interest from a lot of people, especially within corrosion control and really any industry that can prevent putting workers out into the field. But the flip side, they're under pressure, obviously, to minimize cost however they can. So what is that balance like from your perspective?
We haven't really sort of pitched our software as a tool that could save you costs so much in this situation. At the moment, everyone, and we included, think it's going to be rather short term, okay, this crisis. I think it's more sort of pitching our software as to what it's going to look like after the worst of it is over, when we're all going to have to go back to doing what we were doing before, but we're going to have to find more alternative and novel ways in order to do it. And so modeling and simulation is a very good tool to use for that aspect, so that if you are going to be designing something differently or in a different way or using different processes, or if you, in some ways, I suppose, part of your future could be that you are traveling a lot less compared to what you were doing before, then modeling, of course, is a way in which you can predict rather than have to measure physically what is happening out there, you know, in the middle of whatever it is, the ocean, for example, if we're talking about some type of oil rig. So short term, modeling and our software has always been more of an investment tool rather than a short-term type of commodity, so that people are thinking ahead 1 year, sometimes 2 years it could take before a sale is made. Often our software is purchased as part of a project, so we see that maybe we're coming in projects that have been cut down in size or cut down in the amount of expenditure that's been allowed to be placed onto that project. So in some ways, we have noticed that there is some sort of economic activity towards saving and so forth. But fortunately for us, we've been able to be one of the solutions to this problem.
Interested in a career in corrosion or looking for a chance to sharpen your skills? Well, now you can take NACE International's industry-trusted courses right from your home. Choose from a comprehensive library of e-courses available on demand and covering several popular industry topics. Start, pause, bookmark the training to run errands, and pick up right where you left off. NACE training supports every stage of your corrosion career. Visit www.nace.org/online to browse and register today.
We're on the phone now with Phil Kinane, Vice President of Sales at ComSol. When you look at specific industries that are under pressure at the moment, I know you all work within the fields of protective coatings. You look at ability to predict coating lifespan. You do things within corrosion control. All of these are fields where your modeling, your simulation software is particularly applicable. So with regards to corrosion control, protective coatings, are there any themes with those industries in particular that you've heard over the last 3 months as far as how they're faring? Are those industries willing to adopt what you were just referring to as sort of the long-term mindset, not so much about the next 12 months, but where we go once the pandemic is over? I know you talk to clients. I know y'all are involved in market research. So if you could just elaborate on the corrosion control, the protective coatings fields in particular, anything you've heard from those market segments.
Well, because it's so short term, and often funding has been appropriated quite a long ways looking at the future. So there is quite a lot of funds and so forth sloshing around. That sloshing, maybe that's a bit of a bad word, but there is a lot of funds that are available, I would say, that have not been dragged back or dragged in, or in which in some cases are. The management has been happy to have those funds continue to be spent with respect to all types of research and development, not only modeling and simulation. I think it differs between industries, and I think it differs between customers within those industries. Some of them have taken an approach of putting a stop on all types of purchasing. Some of them have or maybe learn from previous mistakes. I was at this company during the dot-com crisis, and research and development was the first thing to go in many companies. And then when everything got better, everyone had to build up their research and design again, which could take 2 or 3 years. They learned from that, and I think some of them are sort of accepting that if they are going to survive this crisis, and if they are going to survive the medium to far future, then they are going to still have to invest and possibly invest smarter rather than in quantity. But as said, there are some companies that just take a blanket approach to let's cut all spending, and we have noticed that. But I was actually expecting a lot more of that than has actually happened. So I think we're looking a lot stronger than what quite a lot of people are fearing.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty good to hear. I'm curious, has there been a particular uptick within the last month or two? Because anecdotally, from hosting these podcasts and talking to people within my capacity at NACE, it felt like, you know, not just within corrosion, but the overall world, there was a bit of a panic when this really set on in the developed world in March. But now that most places are out of lockdown, and of course I know there's going to be some back and forth until there's a vaccine, but it really feels like that a lot of industries, a lot of companies are adapting to basically a new normal and trying to figure out what the best path forward is. And we're not really in that spot that we were in March, when for so many, there was just this, not just from a personal perspective, but a business perspective, this need, this desire to pull back at all costs. I feel like that while the crisis is not gone at this point, people have an idea of what they need to do, especially from a business perspective, to move forward. So Is that something you're seeing? Are things better now as we're talking in the middle of summer than they were in late spring? Are companies sort of adjusting better than maybe they were 3 months ago? Is that a fair characterization?
I think so. I mean, it's not a huge, strong sort of feeling or trend that I am feeling, because once again, we are sort of a more long-term type right. of investment tool that people would invest in. But I think our advantage in some ways is that the people that use our software often can do it from anywhere. So I would say that almost exclusively, but there's certainly a large majority of the people who use our software are still sitting at home. But that's fine, because all they need to do is connect themselves to a relatively good and heavy piece of hardware, in other words, computational power, which could be back at their old place of work. And then they can certainly model and simulate them. The people that unfortunately have to go into the manufacturing halls or onto the field are not necessarily the people who are modeling so much, but they can certainly be furnished with a lot better data and a lot better information, so that they can spend their time when they actually have to be outside of their own homes in a far more efficient way. So I think there's a lot of, in general, I think most of the American industries that we are associated with have actually thought quite a lot about this, and are certainly, I never felt any significant amounts of panic coming from any of them. And this even included some of them where you would expect that panic, such as the aerospace and automotive and oil industries. It's been relatively calm, and I think it's relatively calm because that they feel confident in themselves that they can get through this.
We're finishing up here with Phil Kinane, Vice President of Sales at COMSOL. Phil, as we wrap up, any closing thoughts, outlook, words of advice for the future for anyone that's listening to this podcast that might have interest, be it in your solutions or anywhere else? Let's talk generally about the idea of increased modeling, increased simulation capacity. What would you tell someone that's listening to this podcast that might have, I guess, some curiosity in delving deeper into the modeling sphere than what they have done to this point? Why is this a good time for them to get involved? What are some of the considerations that they should be thinking about if they want to learn more from you guys or any other provider in the field?
That's a big question. So what I feel, and what our company COMSOL is really putting a lot of effort into is to sort of bring simulation to a lot larger sort of amount of people, so that engineers and design people who've never really had an education or never really were that involved in simulation, modeling, math, physics, and so forth, when they receive their education, should still be able to do simulation. So we've been working with our main software as being a platform for building small mini software, if you like, that can do certain applications specific to a certain company or a certain process or a certain device or a certain design, so that engineers such as those that go out onto the field can actually sit there or stand there and run their own simulations by virtue of communicating with some server through a tablet, for example, or a mobile phone, and yet still do very sophisticated simulation and can adjust their work accordingly, although they may be 1,000 miles from head office. So I think that we need to sort of, going forward, I think you need to make people in general less specialized and more capable of being able to do many of the different facets of a job, and understand more of what it is that the company or organization that you work for actually does, and integrate with other departments, other people, other applications, and so forth a lot better. And simulation is a perfect tool for that type of thing.
Phil, before you go, any ways that people can get in touch with you or the company? I'm guessing your website, but for anyone that wants to know more information from you guys, how can they get that?
I think probably the website is the best way to do it. We have forms and so forth where you can type in your details and questions. I should point out that you know, we have products that are specialized towards electrochemistry, corrosion, but also more general sort of physics phenomena such as fluid dynamics, electromagnetics, and transport processes. So I think that you can find a huge amount of information by visiting consol.com, and from there you can go on to possibly attending a webinar or fixing a meeting or having a demonstration or trying out the software. So it would all basically start from the website.
Yep, that makes sense. Phil, thank you so much for the time, and look forward to catching up with you again in the future.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Absolutely. Great insight there from Phil Kinane, Vice President of Sales at Consol, and that's where we will bring this episode to a close. Again, as he said, www.consol.com is their website if you want more information from them. As for us at NACE, again, my name is Ben Dubose. I'm a staff writer for NACE Publications. If you want more information from us, be it about modeling or just the generic fields of corrosion control, protective coatings, what's going on these days in these businesses, then the best place to get it is online. www.nace.org is the website for the association as a whole. For the magazines, it's materialsperformance.com for MP, the official membership magazine of NACE, and coatingspromag.com for Coatings Pro Magazine, which is tailored for industrial and commercial coatings contractors. So with that, we'll bring this episode to a close. Again, thanks to you for listening. Thanks to Phil for joining us. One quick housekeeping note. Now that we're 3 months into the COVID crisis, really three and a half, but we're 3 months into this COVID-19 series, the interview series for MP, for Coatings Pro, we're going to be bringing that official series to a close today, simply because the series was launched in late March. The idea was to give you all timely information, how we're going to get through the crisis. Well, as I said to Phil on today's show, I think at this point, we all basically have strategies. We've adjusted for the most part to this new normal. We know at least what we're going to be trying to do from a business perspective and industry perspective in the coming months. So we're certainly not stopping the podcast, but it's going to be less COVID-19 exclusive. We'll still talk about COVID, of course, because that's a key business driver these days. But the bottom line for us, as it pertains to MP and Coatings Pro, we want to help your bottom line. So we're going to be talking generally when it comes to materials performance, when it comes to Coatings Pro, what are tips, things that you may need to know to do your job better, to improve your performance, to improve your bottom line. Many times those two are correlated. That's what we're going to be doing in the coming days. We're going to be launching some new series for Coatings Pro and for MP, so stay tuned for that. This will be where we bring the COVID-specific series to a close. But again, this is not it for NACE International Podcast. We have many more coming in the days and weeks ahead. We'll just be broadening the scope a little bit because at this point, COVID certainly isn't over. But as far as the initial aftermath, I think we all have a handle on what we're trying to do from a personal, a business perspective, and it's just on us to go out and execute. So we'll be shifting the focus of our podcast just a little bit in the days ahead. We'll still be interviewing experts. I'm sure COVID will come up. The focus will just be a little bit broader than what we have been doing the last 3 months in basically what's the immediate onset of the COVID-19 era in the world. And of course, the world as it pertains to corrosion control and protective coatings, the industries that we cover here at NACE and then the NACE Publications Division. With that, I will bring things to a close. Again, thanks for listening. My name is Ben Dubose, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at NACE International.